You are listening to IP Management Voice, your podcast about the world of IP and IP management. We talk about the smartest minds in the knowledge economy so that you can learn from them. If you want to know more, you can subscribe to our newsletter and research the latest topics on our content platform, Dplex, with the world's most important experts on IP and IP management. The content featured in today's episode on licensing-based business models comes from Bo Hyden and Thomas Bayreuther.
Welcome back, everybody. Today, we're really going to deep dive into this world of licensing-based business models.
Ooh, licensing.
Yeah. You know, in a world where tech is just like evolving at an insane speed, it feels like.
Absolutely.
Licensing is becoming so crucial.
Yeah.
You know, just for companies to like stay ahead of the game, right?
Definitely. I think it's really interesting how licensing is evolving beyond just sort of generating revenue.
Yeah.
It's becoming a strategic weapon for accessing cutting edge tech, mitigating risk, and even like conquering new markets.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Okay, so let's unpack this a little bit. The deep dive today is fueled by insights from a paper by Bowman Hyden and Thomas Bayreuther.
Okay.
Two really leading experts in this field.
All right.
And there's a great recent article on DIplex, which is this fantastic online IP resource that summarizes their work really nicely.
And what's striking is their argument that licensing is becoming increasingly vital, you know, particularly with the complexities of globalization and rapidly advancing technology.
So it's not just about like slapping a patent on something and calling it a day.
Not at all. It's often challenging to put a precise price tag on certain technologies.
Right.
Especially those with, you know, disruptive potential.
Yeah.
Licensing offers a way for businesses to share both the rewards and the risks, making it a much more appealing option in today's uncertain landscape.
Yeah. It's like a calculated bet on the future almost.
Yeah.
With both sides having some skin in the game.
Exactly.
But here's what's really interesting for me, and I bet for you listening too. Think about all the products and services you use daily.
Yeah.
From your smartphone to the apps on it.
Oh, yeah.
Chances are there are countless licensing agreements, like behind the scenes, quietly powering our modern world.
That's true. Licensing is everywhere, often operating behind the curtain.
Yeah.
Understanding its nuances can really unlock a whole new level of understanding of the business world.
Okay. So Hyden and Bayreuther outline these four main types of licensing models.
Okay.
The first one they call access to technology.
This model is all about companies gaining access to technology that they might lack internally.
Okay.
Imagine a startup trying to develop a groundbreaking medical device.
Okay.
They might have a brilliant team and a solid business plan, but they're missing a key piece of the technological puzzle.
Hold on, though. If they've got such a great team, why not just like develop that missing piece themselves?
Right.
Why go through all the hassle of licensing?
Well, time and resources are often limited, especially for startups.
Sure.
Building everything from scratch can be a costly and time-consuming endeavor.
Yeah.
Licensing allows them to plug that technological gap quickly and efficiently.
Yeah.
Focusing their energy on what they do best.
So it's like borrowing a specialized tool from a really well-equipped workshop instead of trying to build one yourself from scratch.
Exactly. And it can be a game changer for startups looking to hit the ground running.
Yeah. Smart move.
Okay.
Next up, we have freedom to operate or FTO licensing. This one sounds a bit more legalistic.
Yeah, it's definitely rooted in the legal landscape, but it's more than just avoiding lawsuits.
Okay.
Think of it as strategic navigation through a complex web of patents and intellectual property rights.
You know, sometimes FTO isn't just about avoiding lawsuits. It can actually be a brilliant collaboration strategy.
Yeah.
Think about patent pools.
Yeah.
That's where companies in a specific industry agree to share their patents, creating a sort of one-stop shop for anyone looking to use that technology.
It's like clearing a path through a dense forest.
Yeah.
Ensuring you have the right to operate without tripping over someone else's intellectual property.
Yeah.
It's particularly crucial in industries where innovation is happening at breakneck speed and patent landscapes are constantly shifting.
So is it like getting permission before building an extension on your house? Making sure you're not encroaching on your neighbor's property lines.
That's a great analogy.
Okay.
And sometimes these agreements involve a mutually beneficial exchange, whether it's financial compensation or a cross-licensing deal where both companies grant each other access to their respective IP portfolios.
So it's not always about dodging legal bullets. It could also be about forging these strategic alliances.
Absolutely.
Even with competitors.
In some cases, collaboration can lead to faster innovation and a larger market for everyone involved.
Yeah.
The MPEG video compression standard is a great example of this. Imagine if every company had to negotiate separate licenses for every video format.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that would be a mess. Okay, now for the third model, licensing versus production services.
Okay.
This one sounds like a real head scratcher.
This is where licensing takes center stage, becoming the primary business model itself.
Okay.
Imagine a company that develops a versatile platform technology with applications across various industries.
Mm.
Instead of trying to manufacture and deliver products or services themselves, they choose to license their technology to others.
So they're like the masterminds behind the scenes.
Precise.
Providing the essential ingredient while others take care of the actual baking.
This approach can be incredibly efficient, allowing companies to scale rapidly and reach a wider audience without getting bogged down in the complexities of production and distribution.
Okay, last but not least, we have complementary licensing.
Mm.
What's the story with this one?
This model is all about maximizing the value of a company's existing intellectual property portfolio.
Wow.
Let's say a company has developed some technology that, while valuable, isn't core to their main business focus.
Mm.
Instead of letting it sit idle, they can choose to license it out, generating additional revenue streams.
Ah, so it's like renting out that spare room in your house.
Exactly.
You're not using it, but it could be a valuable asset for someone else.
It's a smart way to monetize underutilized assets, potentially even opening doors to new markets or testing the waters for future ventures.
Okay, so we've got these four main types of licensing models, but how do companies actually go about setting these agreements up? Are there like standard templates they use, or is it a more bespoke process?
Well, that's where things get really interesting. Licensing agreements are definitely not one size fits all.
Right.
Each one gets to be carefully tailored to the specific needs and goals of both parties involved.
So what are the key ingredients they need to consider? The DIPLEX article mentioned three crucial elements: objectives, the licensed object, and scope.
Right, let's break those down.
Oh, yeah.
First, we have objectives.
Okay.
Both the licensor and the licensee need to be crystal clear about what they hope to achieve with this agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Is it about generating revenue, gaining access to a specific technology,
right,
or something else entirely?
It's like any successful partnership. You need to be on the same page from the outset.
Exactly.
With a shared vision for the journey ahead.
Then there's the licensed object.
Okay.
This is where precision is paramount.
Okay.
What exactly is being licensed? Is it a specific patent, a trademark, some secret know-how, or trade secret?
Right.
It's crucial to define the boundaries of the agreement with absolute clarity.
So no vague language or room for misinterpretation.
Yeah.
Everything needs to be spelled out in black and white.
Absolutely. And finally, we have the scope of the license.
Okay.
This determines how broadly the licensee can actually use the license technology.
So this is where we delve into the nitty-gritty details.
Yes. The scope covers things like exclusivity, the specific actions the licensee is permitted to take,
mm-hmm,
the geographical territory where they can operate,
Dip.
And the precise fields of use for the licensed technology.
Wow, that's a lot to consider. It sounds like crafting these agreements requires a real delicate balancing act.
It does.
Ensuring clarity while still leaving some room for flexibility.
But that's also what makes them so powerful.
Yeah.
They allow for an incredible degree of customization, making them adaptable to a wide range of business needs and scenarios.
Okay, so we've laid the groundwork for understanding licensing and the different models companies can employ. But I have a feeling it's not always smooth sailing in the world of licensing agreements.
You're absolutely right.
Are there any potential pitfalls or challenges that companies need to be aware of?
It's not always a straightforward path. There are definitely some potential challenges and considerations that can arise when navigating the intricacies of licensing.
So what are some of the potential potholes we should be watching out for? The DIPLEX article mentioned issues like trust and collaboration, handling know-how and trade secrets competition law, and dealing with future developments in technology.
Those are all crucial points, and each deserves a closer look.
Yeah, let's break it down.
Let's start with trust and collaboration.
Okay.
Licensing agreements, by their nature, often involve long-term relationships, sometimes even between companies that are competitors in the marketplace.
That's an interesting dynamic. You're essentially cooperating with someone who's also your rival, striving for success in the same arena.
Exactly. So building and maintaining a foundation of trust is absolutely essential.
Yeah.
Both parties need to embrace transparency, communicate openly and honestly, and be willing to work together to address any issues that may arise along the way.
It sounds like walking a tightrope.
It is.
Requiring a very delicate balance of collaboration and competition. And what about handling know-how and trade secrets? That seems like a particularly tricky area.
It can be. The challenge lies in being specific enough in the agreement to ensure the licensee understands what they're getting.
Yeah.
Without divulging the company's crown jewels, those closely guarded secrets that give them a competitive edge.
So how do you strike that balance? Is there a magic formula for protecting your secret sauce while still providing the licensee with enough information to utilize the technology effectively?
Well, there are a few approaches. One method is to create a detailed list of documents that contain the know-how and attach it as an appendix to the agreement. This provides a concrete reference point.
Okay.
Another option is to define the know-how by its subject matter. For example, stating all the know-how necessary to optimize this technology package.
I see. So you're providing a roadmap without giving away the exact ingredients.
Precisely.
Sort of like saying, here's how to bake a delicious cake without revealing your grandma's secret recipe.
And of course, it's crucial to have robust confidentiality provisions woven into the agreement. These legal safeguards act as a protective shield for that sensitive information.
Makes sense. Now, what about competition law? The DIPLEX article mentioned that exclusivity can be a potential minefield.
Yes. Exclusive licenses can sometimes raise red flags with antitrust regulators.
Okay.
If an agreement gives one company too much power in a particular market, stifling competition, it could be detrimental to consumers and raise concerns about fair play.
So it's like ensuring a level playing field.
Exactly.
Preventing one player from monopolizing the entire game.
Companies need to carefully navigate these waters, making sure their agreements comply with all relevant competition laws and don't inadvertently create a monopoly.
Right.
There are strategies to mitigate these concerns, though. For example, they could tie the exclusive license to specific performance milestones or include provisions that allow for the license to become non-exclusive under certain conditions.
So it's about finding that sweet spot. Balancing the benefits of exclusivity with the need for a healthy and competitive marketplace.
And then there's the fascinating challenge of dealing with future developments in technology.
Yeah.
We live in a world where innovation is relentless, and what's cutting edge today might be obsolete tomorrow.
Right.
So what happens if the licensed technology undergoes significant changes or improvements after the agreement is signed?
That's a great point. Technology moves so quickly these days, it's almost guaranteed that there will be updates, upgrades, even entirely new versions down the line. How do you anticipate the unpredictable?
Well-drafted licensing agreements are like a well-prepared scout anticipating potential obstacles and charting a course to navigate them.
Okay.
They should anticipate these changes and outline how they will be handled.
So you might include provisions for incorporating improvements made by the licensor?
Yes.
Or even establish back licensing arrangements where the licensee shares any enhancements for innovations they develop. It's like a two-way street of continuous improvement.
That's right. It's about creating a framework that's flexible enough to adapt to the ever-changing technological landscape.
It's getting incredibly nuanced. It's fascinating to see how licensing agreements require such careful attention to detail, balancing legal considerations with strategic business goals.
They do, but when done right, they can be incredibly powerful tools for businesses of all sizes.
Yeah.
From nimble startups to multinational corporations, they're like the secret ingredient that can unlock growth, foster innovation, and shape entire industries.
Speaking of doing it right, the DIPLEX article includes some captivating case studies that showcase real-world examples of companies that have successfully implemented licensing-based business models. It's like peeking behind the curtain and seeing how these concepts play out in the real world.
Yes, these case studies offer valuable insights into how the principles we've been discussing translate into tangible success stories.
Yeah.
They provide a glimpse into the strategies, challenges, and triumphs of companies that have mastered the art of licensing.
Shall we dive into those examples? Mm-hmm. I'm eager to hear how these companies navigated the complexities of licensing and achieved their business objectives.
Absolutely. Let's explore how they use licensing to unlock their potential and make their mark on the world.
Let's do it. All right, let's jump into those case studies. First up, we have a company called Wood Welding.
Okay.
What's their story?
So Wood Welding is a great example of a company that used licensing to strategically expand into multiple markets.
Okay.
They developed this cutting-edge technology for bonding materials using ultrasonic waves.
Wow.
Imagine like welding wood without any heat or adhesives.
That sounds incredibly innovative, almost futuristic. But why not just like build their own factories and become this manufacturing powerhouse themselves? What made licensing the more appealing option?
That's a great question. While building their own manufacturing infrastructure might seem tempting, it would require a significant investment of time and resources.
Yeah.
Instead, Wood Welding chose a licensing-centric approach, granting exclusive licenses for specific applications of their ultrasonic bonding technology.
Yeah. So they partnered with companies that were already established in those like target markets.
Exactly.
Smart move.
By granting exclusive licenses for specific uses,
okay,
they incentivized those partners to invest in co-development and really push the boundaries of the technology.
Yeah.
It was a brilliant way to tap into existing expertise and infrastructure.
It's almost like they're leveraging the collective power of a network rather than trying to go it alone.
Mm.
What a clever way for like a smaller company to punch above its weight and compete on a global scale. It makes you wonder how many other hidden champions are out there using licensing to make a big impact.
It's a great example of how strategic licensing can be a powerful growth engine, especially for companies with innovative technologies but limited resources.
Okay, on to the next case study. This one features a company called Oxyon.
Oxyon.
What's their story?
So Oxyon presents a fascinating case of a hybrid approach blending direct sales with strategic licensing. They developed this unique technology and made the bold decision to both sell products directly. AND licensed the technology for non-competing applications.
I see the benefits of this hybrid model.
Yeah.
But isn't it risky to split your focus like that? Could Oxyon end up being neither a strong product company nor a successful licensor?
That's a valid concern. And managing two distinct business models certainly requires careful planning and execution.
Right.
For their core products, Oxyon maintained control over production and sales.
Okay.
Leveraging their expertise and market knowledge, however, for applications that fell outside their core focus.
Yeah.
They strategically licensed the technology to other companies.
So they were selective about which parts of their technology to license.
Exactly. This approach allowed them to diversify their revenue streams and extract maximum value from their intellectual property. It's a testament to the flexibility of licensing as a business model.
So in a way, they're having their cake and eating it too, but managing two separate business models can't be easy.
Mm.
How did Oxyon ensure they weren't spreading themselves too thin and losing focus?
It requires a clear strategic vision and a willingness to adapt. Oxyon likely had to carefully assess their capabilities and resources, identifying which areas they could excel in directly and which areas would be better served through partnerships. It's about playing to your strengths while recognizing the value of collaboration.
Okay, last but not least, we have Marinome. Tell us about them.
Marinome, an Austrian biotech company, provides another compelling example of a hybrid model, but with a focus on international expansion.
Okay.
They have this platform technology with potential applications in a wide range of fields. Their strategy involved a mix of direct commercialization in some markets and licensing in others.
So they're strategically choosing their battles, focusing their own efforts where they have a strong competitive advantage, and partnering with others in regions where they might lack the resources or expertise to go it alone.
Precisely, this approach allowed Marinome to leverage their in-house expertise and market knowledge in certain areas.
Yeah.
While tapping into the networks and resources of licensing partners and others, it's a strategic dance, balancing control with collaboration.
That makes a lot of sense.
Thanks, Ron.
It's about recognizing that you don't have to be a master of all trades.
Hmm.
Sometimes partnering with others can be the key to unlocking global opportunities.
Absolutely. And Marinome's success highlights how licensing can be a powerful tool for navigating the complexities of international business.
So we've seen three very different approaches to licensing, each with its own unique set of challenges and rewards.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the key takeaways from these case studies? What lessons can our listeners glean from these real-world examples?
One overarching theme that emerges from these cases is the importance of strategic alignment.
Okay.
Licensing shouldn't be an afterthought or a random act.
Yeah.
It needs to be deeply integrated into a company's overall business strategy.
So it's not just about signing a bunch of licensing agreements and hoping for the best. It's about having a clear vision for how licensing will help you achieve your specific goals.
Exactly. It's about asking yourself, how does licensing fit into our growth plans? How can we use it to maximize the value of our intellectual property?
Yeah.
These case studies demonstrate that a well-defined licensing strategy can be the key to unlocking new markets, accelerating innovation, and achieving sustainable growth.
Right. And another key takeaway is the need for flexibility.
Yeah.
There's no one-size-fits-all approach to licensing.
Right.
The best strategy will depend on the specific technology,
mm-hmm.
the market dynamics, and the capabilities of both the licensor and the licensee.
Absolutely. We saw that with Oxyon and Marinomed, both of which adopted hybrid models that blended licensing with other approaches. Sometimes the best solution lies in a combination of strategies.
It's about being adaptable and finding the right fit for each unique situation. What else stands out to you?
Well, the case studies also underscore the importance of strong IP portfolio management.
Okay.
If you're going to be licensing your technology, you need to make sure it's well protected.
Right. It's like having a solid foundation before you start building your house.
Yeah.
If your intellectual property isn't properly secured, you're putting your entire licensing strategy at risk.
Exactly. Having a strong IP portfolio is crucial for attracting potential licensees, negotiating favorable terms, and defending your rights if any disputes arise.
So investing in IP protection is a prerequisite for any successful licensing journey. It's like putting on your armor before heading into battle.
Precisely. And finally, I think the case studies reinforce the importance of trust and open communication in licensing relationships.
Yes.
These agreements often involve sharing sensitive information and collaborating closely over an extended period,
mm-hmm.
sometimes even with companies that might be considered competitors.
Yes, we talked about that earlier, but it's worth repeating. These agreements are more than just transactions. They're partnerships built on a foundation of mutual respect and understanding.
Exactly. Building and maintaining trust is essential for making these partnerships work, fostering a collaborative environment where both parties feel comfortable sharing ideas, addressing concerns, and working together to achieve shared success.
So it's like a dance requiring both partners to move in sync, anticipating each other's steps and adapting to the changing rhythm of the music.
That's a beautiful analogy. And when that dance is performed well, it can lead to incredible outcomes for both parties.
Okay, so we've learned a lot about licensing today, but I think the most important question for our listeners is, why should they care? How does this all relate to their own lives, even if they're not directly involved in negotiating licensing agreements? Why should they care about this seemingly complex world of intellectual property and business deals?
That's a great question. And I think there are several compelling reasons why understanding licensing is important, even if you're not a lawyer or a business executive.
Okay, let's hear it. Why should we care about licensing?
First, as we touched upon earlier, licensing is truly everywhere.
Yeah.
It's the invisible hand behind so many of the products and services we use daily, from the software that powers our smartphones to the life-saving medicines we rely on. Licensing plays a crucial role in bringing these innovations to market, shaping the world we live in.
So even if we're not aware of it, licensing is constantly impacting our lives in countless ways. It's the silent engine driving progress and innovation.
It is. And second, understanding licensing can help us appreciate the intricate web of relationships and collaborations that drive the business world.
Yeah.
It's not always as simple as a single company creating and selling a product. There's often a complex ecosystem of partnerships and agreements behind the scenes.
Right. It's like realizing that the seemingly simple act of turning on a light switch involves a complex network of power generation, transmission, and distribution, all working together seamlessly.
Exactly. And third, I believe that understanding licensing can empower us as consumers. When we have a grasp of how companies are using licensing to bring products and services to market, we can make more informed decisions about what we choose to buy and support.
That's a powerful point. It's like seeing beyond the marketing facade and understanding the underlying mechanisms that drive the products and services we encounter every day.
Precisely. And that deeper understanding can help us make choices that align with our values and priorities. We can become more conscious consumers, supporting companies that are using licensing in ethical and sustainable ways.
Okay, so licensing is important for consumers, but it's also increasingly relevant for anyone working in a knowledge-based economy where ideas and innovation are the driving force.
Absolutely. Whether you're a scientist, an engineer, a designer, or an entrepreneur, understanding licensing is becoming a crucial skill.
So it's not just for lawyers and business executives anymore. It's a skill set that's becoming increasingly valuable across various professions.
Exactly. As technology continues to evolve at an exponential pace, licensing is becoming more important for anyone who's creating or working with intellectual property. It's about understanding how to protect your ideas, collaborate effectively, and navigate the complex world of intellectual property rights.
That's like a new language that everyone needs to learn.
That's a great way to put it. And the more fluent we become in this language, the better equipped we'll be to navigate the complexities of the modern business world and unlock the full potential of our creativity and innovation.
It's pretty amazing to think about how much ingenuity and collaboration goes into creating the products and services we often take for granted.
It really is. There's this whole hidden world of innovation and partnerships behind the scenes.
And licensing is often the key that kind of unlocks those collaborations.
Yeah.
Enabling companies to share their knowledge, expertise, and IP to bring those innovations to life.
It's like a secret handshake between companies, a way of saying, let's work together to make something amazing.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into licensing, what are some of the key takeaways our listeners should remember? What are those like nuggets of wisdom that we can carry with them?
Well, first and foremost, licensing is not just about legal contracts and legalese.
Right.
It's a strategic tool that can be a powerful driver of business growth and innovation.
Right. It's about making smart decisions that align with your overall goals and using licensing as a catalyst to achieve those goals.
Exactly. It's about choosing the right licensing model, crafting agreements that meet your specific needs, and being aware of the potential challenges along the way.
It's about having a clear vision, a flexible approach, and a willingness to collaborate.
Absolutely. And as technology continues to advance at an unprecedented pace, licensing is only going to become more important.
So whether you're an entrepreneur, an innovator, or just a curious consumer, it's worth taking the time to understand how licensing works and how it shapes the world around us.
It's an investment in knowledge that will pay dividends in the long run.
Well said. It's been an incredible journey exploring the intricacies of licensing, and I hope our listeners have gained a newfound appreciation for this fascinating world.
It's been a pleasure sharing these insights with you.
And a huge thank you to all of you for joining us on this intellectual property adventure. We'll see you next time for another deep dive into a captivating topic. Until then, stay curious and keep exploring.
Thanks for listening to IP Management Voice. If there's any topic you'd like us to cover in this podcast or on the content platform Dplex, please get in contact and let us know.